What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, man, we are live here at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Beautiful day. By the way, got to drop the top on the sled today. Got over 60 there for about a minute.
Yeah, and you won't get to all next week.
Yeah, I mean, MLK Day, we get it off. The Hawks are taking on the Knicks national championship game. And I was like, man, we'll play some golf.
You ain't doing that either.
I mean, I like golf, but I'm not going to dress up like Ralphie from A Christmas Story, you know, wearing like the outfit you can't move in.
Every year it's funny because Michelle to me says every year you say you're going to be off and play during this time of year. And every year, and I don't know what it is, the third week of January, it's the third week of January, and it's usually cold and we're off and there's something going on. Yeah, it's going to be another cold week. I just hope we don't get the snow.
Well, I was going to run down to Florida for the 24 hours of Daytona, the Rolex. It's going to be freaking freezing down there, too.
Really?
It's going to be chilly. I mean, it's going to come down about Saturday night, midnight into Sunday. So, you know, with all due respect, I mean, if you're sitting out there in the infield, forget it. You know, with it. Plus, you know me. I don't do camper stuff. My idea of roughing it means no cable.
I'll tell you, though, man, that camping thing down there, they're getting it in.
Oh, they do. They do. Talladega, Daytona. Hey, man, if you're just getting in your car, where you been, man? The big story today is actually a non-story. There was an erroneous broadcast that stated the offensive coordinator for the Georgia Bulldogs, Mike Bobo, was going to be stepping down over health concerns. We just had Rusty Manziel on from Dogs HQ. And he said that's not true. And the person who started those rumors just said he sure hopes those rumors aren't true on social media. So sometimes you got to consider the source, even though sometimes you think the source would know better.
Yeah, I just, you know, and I say this all the time on the show. I know who I know. I don't know who you know.
Right.
When you talk about these kinds of things, you're talking about the magnitude of these kinds of stories that take a life of their own.
Right.
You better know. Well, and especially to Rusty's point, this is a very – the thing that Rusty pointed out, and he's right, it's one thing if you're going to step away. People do that all the time. Or, you know, Mike, hey, I'm not as enthusiastic or as passionate. But when you start talking about health concerns, that's a different animal. And so Rusty, he pointed that out. Like, I want to make sure that people hear what I'm saying today. And here's what I know. So I appreciate Rusty coming on the show. But I just feel like, yeah, man, that's why when we talked about it when we got here to Twin Peaks today, we're in Buckhead, I was like, they're running with this?
Yeah, and then, you know, the thing is, it also gets, I can imagine how Kirby's, thank you so much, Kirby's blood would be boiling over something like this because of...
It creates a mess.
Yeah, and then everything else from recruiting to what's out there. And, you know, you guys know, a story these days, whether it's a rumor, and of course you always trust, you know, a blue check doesn't matter. You can spend $25 for a blue check mark. But, I mean, you've got guys that have no, let's be honest, no juice, throwing stuff out there, and things get their own momentum and a life of their own. In this case, you know, Buck Ballew got a, you know, as a former championship-winning quarterback for Georgia, you'd think you'd know what you're talking about there. So we'll see. But a lot of folks, including our Rusty Manziel, are saying no validity to the rumors earlier today that Mike Bobo has some form of health issues that would cause him to step down as Georgia offensive coordinator. All right. More on that or less on that coming up. Danny Cannell is going to talk more about the national championship and what he thinks about where Georgia is and what Carson Beck's going to be in Miami. That's on the way. Right now, though, it's time for an NFL Blitz. A little 4th and 1. It's brought to you by ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. Carl, get some peptides in your life along with your diet. Keep those pounds off, man. Make that resolution stick. All right, the commish, Roger Goodell, in an interview says It's just logical, Carl, that the next step would be 18 regular season games for the NFL. Problem there is you got to talk to the players' union because you have not collectively bargained for an 18-game schedule. So that means a couple of considerations you and I brought up a number of times. I'm all for hell. Give me 20 weeks of football. I don't care if the NFL season goes to St. Patrick's Day. We all love it. We can't get enough of it. We love the NFL. It's our drug. But you need to expand that roster. More, Carl, than 45 guys. I think you need 50 guys on an active roster, and you certainly need a second bye week if you're going to go to 18.
Yeah, that's the big deal. And then, you know, what's the compensation, too? I mean, not everybody's making $50 million, although it seems that way. For the mid-range guys, Mike, the lower-tier guys, what are you talking about? Salary increases across the board, that's costing the owners more money. They know that, but they're going to make more money. But it is this is inevitable. You know, to quote Thanos, this is going to happen. So it's not if, it's when. And then the bigger question for me becomes, does that also mean, is that another international game? Because, Mike, they continue to go overseas, and now we got more games overseas.
And, by the way, we have not confirmed yet, but we do know for a fact the Indianapolis Colts will be playing in the Berlin game. We know that they are going to be a host team there. And if you've been following the Falcons schedule, you know we're away at Indianapolis. So somebody is going to be playing the Colts in Germany the first time in Berlin, and it could be the Falcons. So stay tuned on that. We do certainly, you know, we'd like to think we get a jump on that, being the Falcons flagship. And if anybody knows, because Carl and I would like to book some flights. And you're, by the way, you're in charge of the tour over there, man. You lived over there.
Well, and you know, the thing is, I was hoping that we could do Frankfurt. But, you know, Berlin, that's a different animal. And by the way, right, for those who don't, you know, never traveled abroad or not been over there, it's like going to New York or Chicago. It's you know, as Americanized, you're not going to have an issue or any of that stuff. And for the fans that have traveled overseas, London is easy. We know that. But I think it's cool that if the Falcons get a chance to do this.
Right. And for what it's worth, the way they divvy things up, the Falcons have been assigned. Every country gets a team connection. We are assigned to Germany.
Germany, yep.
So today, Berlin. Oh, that's a bad example. Tomorrow, the NFC South. Anyway, we're going. Meanwhile, today we also learned Miami's going to be in Madrid. The Miami Dolphins are going to be
home
team.
I love Madrid.
Man, now here's the thing. If we ain't going to Berlin, I'm going back to that steakhouse in Madrid, and I'm going to eat me some Basque steaks, because I was just telling Chris before the show, that's one of my favorite cities. They're going to have a Formula One race. They're moving the race from Barcelona in the future.
Really?
They're going to have a track that they're building on the sort of the periphery, but does run through parts of downtown Madrid. It's going to be interesting. But, yeah, it's an amazing city, and just, yeah, you can't beat the food and everything else. So 18 weeks, we'll get to it. But as Carl said, the players' union is going to have something to say about that as well. They should. Hey, the Falcons are interviewing Steelers assistant Grady Brown for defensive coordinator. There's been other folks that have come in. Now, Steve Wilks is the bigger name as far as a resume who's coming in. Part of this is to meet the Rooney Rules requirements. But Brown just completed his fourth season with Pittsburgh. He joined the club in 21. He has spent time at the college level. We talked about Wink Martindale, Jeff Ulbrich, Lou Anarumo, and then Derek Ansley was another young coach who also got a chance to. And part of the Rooney Rule is for young guys to get their experience in the interview process.
Absolutely. I mean, there's nothing like being in that room with the decision makers and getting an opportunity to get a feel for what that's like, even if you don't get the job. You know, over the years, all these guys have always told me, even when a lot of people thought these were sham interviews, you got to do it, because it gives you that opportunity to meet the people down the road that you may ultimately get a job from. So, you know, Raheem Morris, for all that you know, we talk about with this year and how things went, Mike, he went through a ton of these interviews over the years after getting let go with Tampa and being a guy that, you know, teams wanted to bring in and talk to, didn't get jobs. But it finally happened for him again. So I agree with you. What's
Here's
up,
Chris?
According to NFL Network, Grady Brown is responsible for a huge uptick in takeaways for the secondary of the Steelers. The Atlanta Falcons could certainly use that.
We need a player or two.
Yeah, we've got some great. Again, you want to talk about star power? We got some great assistant coaches already in the secondary. We need the Jims and Joes. You know, we can debate the X's and O's, but you know, this goes back to what you and I used to talk about with Thomas Dimitroff and his philosophy, Carl, of do you draft from the back or the front? We've got to get a starting corner. You got to get. You had four starting corners go after you picked Rook Arororo. I'm going to get off that one. That's one of my pet peeves right now. But you need to go get a starting corner opposite A.J. Terrell. You got to get a fire breather on edge rush and hope that it matches up with where you're drafting or trying to move up. And we don't have a third-round pick. We don't have all the full complement this year. We lost a pick because of the early conversation that Kirk Cousins had with the training staff.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have worried about that as much if I knew Cousins was going to be our starter again, right, potentially for the next year or two. Now that comes back to hurt you.
Because it adds up. If you could move up a spot or two, and right, these, yep, hey, I can throw in a five,
yep,
or whatever the spot, or the position is, the sweetener. Not, don't have all that. Some of the other information for the weekend, we talked a lot about some of the matchups with Brian McFadden earlier. The Bills have running back Ray Davis is questionable. Certainly it'll be the other guy that'll be toting the rock. But they've got a lot of weapons, but they're kind of like no-names. It's almost like the no-name offense. When you think about the wide receiver core, you know, Keon Coleman has certainly come onto his own. But there's a lot of just like kind of worker bees out there.
I'm sitting here thinking about.
And James Cook is really good. Don't get me wrong.
And
they use him as a receiver in that office because they kind of have to.
But you're right. It's still Josh making amazing plays. And you know, it really is kind of incredible when you think about what they've been able to do this year and how he spread the ball around. But it is a bunch of worker bees. You're right. I mean, because you went from a star wide receiver in Diggs, right?
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can they win without him? And look what they've they're right back in this thing with a chance to go to the AFC Championship game. So maybe they're all, you know, statistically they are. They're better without Diggs.
Right.
But I don't know, Mike. To me, in these games, man, we talk about it. You still need stars. Look at the Lions. Look at you know, the Chiefs. Their stars show up in these kinds of games. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Apparently, the Jets reached out to Brian Greasy, who's working with the 49ers as a quarterback coach, and he said, no thanks.
Yeah.
Which gets back to what people think of the Jets.
Yeah. Man, I think that is – everybody talks about it's a good job. I just don't know about that. I don't see how you could say that's a good job. There's so much going on internally that you're going to have to try to turn around, whether it's the GM, Mike, or the head coach, and those guys better be on the same page, or this is going to be 3 years or 2 years, and they're going to be done. But you're seeing coaches pick their spots. This is the Ben Johnson thing last year.
Right.
I'm not going to pick a job just because I'm getting offered and it's the NFL and everybody's losing their mind. Let me take the right job where I feel like I can go and have the backing and the success that I need to get. I don't disagree with Greasy on this.
Hey, man, Zay Flowers out of practice again on Friday for the Ravens. So another weapon we talked about. You know, the Bills kind of do it with some of their parts offense. But the Ravens, you know, Zay Flowers is just another guy that Lamar might not have to lean on. You got to figure, look, go to low four, man. That means Derrick Henry in the cold weather. No snow, just cold up there in Buffalo.
Tight ends will play a big role. They'll run the ball. That offense is hard to defend, man, because they can basically put you in run formations and throw the football. And that's not – a lot of teams can't do that. Once they go to run formations and you bring in the big boys and they're tight ends, you got two tight ends in the game, Mike, and everybody's like, they're running the ball. That's the deal with the Ravens and what Monken has done. But I hope Zay Flowers plays, because that, for me, opens up down the field stuff.
That's a good prop bet. Who's going to have more yards and maybe more touchdowns, Dawson Knox or – Mark Andrews. You know, because to your point, how the tight ends play in both those offenses. This hour of the show, guys, brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. By the way, Dennis Allen, who I want interviewed for DC of the Colts job, has not been linked to the Falcons yet. I would bring him in for an interview, but he's apparently talking to the Colts today.
Turtle, the Titans hire their general manager.
Yes.
He comes from the Chiefs.
Yep, Mike Borgonzi. He's the assistant GM from the Chiefs, a guy that's credited with a lot of their success.
Okay, and awesome. I only want to bring that up just because I know. Just because when you talk about grabbing somebody from an organization that's had success, he's been there 10 years, three Super Bowl rings, he's been in the room, why not go for it? The Titans get their guy.
Cool. Hey, man, we're live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. We talked to Danny Cannell about the national championship. What's going to happen with Carson Beck? That's coming up next. Our man, one of our favorite guests at preview of the national championship. Also get his take on what George has been doing these last few weeks. Danny Cannell joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Hey, Danny, how you doing?
What's up, Mike? How we doing? Carl, you guys doing all right? Fired up? It feels bittersweet a little bit, like end of the college football season's here. It's kind of sad, but I thought the 12-team playoff was really a lot of fun. So it's great to be on with you guys, man.
Man, I agree with you. And I think the excitement of what we saw. Listen, the first round, you know, everybody got caught up, Danny, in the blowouts, and blowouts have happened, whether it was the BCS or, you know, when we had the polls, that's just a part of this. But I think the buildup to this game on Monday night, you're absolutely right, there is some excitement. I want to ask you about the physicality of what we saw with Ohio State and what we've seen. They have just been dominant in these games, and I didn't think that would be the situation when you talk about their last three.
Yeah, they definitely have answered any questions. And even more so, Carl, how about the question marks they had around them after facing Michigan and losing the last game of the regular season, you know, for the fourth time in a row to a team that was basically more physical than them? As you mentioned, like Michigan's defense was able to shut down that offense, and then they couldn't run the football against Michigan, like, and they got run over somewhat by, you know, Khalil Mullings, the Michigan running back. So they had a pretty massive gut check, and it was probably a win that helped them get to where they are today, because I do think it galvanized a team which had been just praised all season long. They were the preseason favorite to win the national championship. They were this $20 million roster. They had pretty much been blowing through their opponents. And even the Oregon game, they lost on the road. It was close, and people just didn't even care about that. It was like, oh, they'll be fine. But that game, like, all of a sudden, Ryan Day came under scrutiny again. It really did feel like it pulled that team together, and then they just come out like a shotgun out of it, or, you know, just like a cannon out of the chute in the playoffs. They blow through Tennessee. They blow through Oregon in the rematch in the Rose Bowl, which was probably the most surprising outcome of this playoff. And then they get another nice win against Texas with the, you know, the play now that's going to go down in infamy, the Jack Sawyer, you know, return. So they have been all that they were the thought to be at the beginning of the season. It probably didn't go as smoothly as we would have thought, but that's what great teams do. They're able to endure some adversity, and they took that, stared it right down, and here we are on the verge of a national championship for the Buckeyes.
It is Danny Cannell with us, guys, here on the WadeFord.com hotline. One of the things which is interesting about Ohio State is, you know, Chip Kelly, it looked like in that Michigan game, it's like, well, what are you doing? I mean, how do you not get your star wide receiver, Jeremiah Smith, more involved? And ironically, in the win against Texas, just one reception for 3 yards. So it's hard to see them. I mean, can they beat Notre Dame without him being a factor on Monday night?
I think they could beat them the same way they beat Texas, right? And I think it does. Like, this is what great teams do. Like, you take what the defense is giving you. And I thought against Michigan, they played a little bit not to lose. And I think it's a very similar kind of game. Now, they were almost a 3-touchdown favorite against Michigan, but still, an 8-point favorite is pretty significant because they do have the edge at almost every position on both sides of the ball. The edge might not be that great, but they do have better players across the board. So there could be a mentality of, well, let's just not go out there. Let's not expose our quarterback too much. What if he throws a pick six? What if we, you know, what if one of our freshmen dropped the ball like a Jeremiah Smith, as good as he's been? There can be a temptation, especially if you get an early lead. Like if it's 10-0, you can get a little bit tentative and maybe start playing a little conservative. That would be my messaging to Ryan Day, and I'm sure he's telling this to his staff and his players. You got to go for the jugular, and that is something they have done through the playoff, but it has to be like a controlled aggression, and that's the difference, I think, against Texas. Texas very clearly was saying, we're not going to give up the plays to Jeremiah Smith. We're not going to give up the big explosives, and so Ohio State methodically ran the ball down the field. When it wasn't there, they didn't force it, so they didn't turn the ball over, and they took advantage of the opportunities that were there, and they got the win. Now, it was close, and it was, you know, a tight-fought game, and the score is a little bit misleading because of that, you know, scoop and score, which put it up to 14. It was very close to being a tie ball game with 2 minutes with first and goal at the one. But Ohio State, ultimately, they got the win. So I would tell them to still be aggressive, and it can be tricky if you're Will Howard, the quarterback. You've got a player like Jeremiah Smith to try to force it to him, but you have to pick your spots. It has to be there because even as good as he is, if he's double-covered, you could throw into trouble, and all of a sudden you start turning the ball over. That's exactly what Notre Dame needs to do to stay in this game.
Danny Cannell, brought to you by Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for all of the latest odds. While we're talking about Texas, Quinn Ewers declares for the draft. What are your thoughts about this quarterback class as we speak right now? I know we haven't gotten past the national championship game, but Cam Ward, Quinn Ewers, obviously Shedeur Sanders. What are your thoughts on those guys specifically?
So I don't think it's a great class. I think they all have flaws. Mm. I think if this was a normal world, and if I say normal, I'd probably have to go back like 10 years where teams really didn't overdraft quarterbacks. They kind of stood patiently. They'd wait for a guy to drop to the second round. But now I feel like they've gone almost to an NBA type mentality where you need a quarterback, you got to take him in the top five. Like you don't risk waiting on him. And a lot of times you just draft a guy on potential. Like Anthony Richardson is a good example of that. The Colts drafted him after watching him only play 13 games for the Florida Gators, and he was average, but he lit it up at the combine, and they were like, oh, we can make this work. And the experiment's still very much, you know, up in the air, whether it works or not. This class, similar, I don't think there's a top-tier, like, upside guy that just blows you away with size. There's not, like, a 6'5 prototypical quarterback. There's not a guy that I think is going to blaze that runs, like, a 4'4. Again, these are kind of Anthony Richardson traits. And they've all got kind of flaws. I am down to Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward. Those are my top two. And I do think they're kind of in a class by themselves. I lean slightly towards Cam Ward. I do think he has more upside. He's got a stronger arm than Shedeur Sanders, and he's more mobile and he's faster. And he's just a dynamic playmaker. Shedeur has been awesome. He's the best decision maker of this class. But he does have – his arm is not that strong. It's adequate, but it's not going to blow you away. And his mobility is adequate, but it's not going to really scare you as a defense. And while you're able to escape sometimes in college, I do think Shador's escapability gets exposed somewhat in the NFL. But he has shown – like, he's got a high football IQ, Shedeur does. So, like, those are my top two. I lean towards Cam Ward. I personally would probably rather see them taken in the – you know, 8, 9, 10 slot, but the chances are they're probably going to both go top three because teams need quarterback and you got to take them when you get them. It's interesting you brought up Quinn Ewers. One point on him, I still don't believe that he's going to go to the NFL. Now, he might. I think he could pull a Carson Beck, right, who you guys are more than familiar with, where he had to put his name in the draft yesterday. There was a deadline, but it doesn't mean he has to go to the NFL. I think he's weighing all his options. I think he's talking to various teams, maybe one in there right down the road from you guys that possibly is in the market for a quarterback, seeing what the actual offers are. Don't believe everything you read because a lot of them are fake offers. And then he'll decide if he goes, because I'm talking to a lot of guys and they're saying he could be a second, third, or maybe a fourth round pick. And if he passes, even if it's a couple million bucks, if he passes on that money, I think it's a big mistake for Quinn Ewers to go to the NFL. So he needs to do his due diligence. But I wouldn't be surprised if he's playing college football somewhere next year.
And, Danny, you mentioned Carson Beck. This year was just weird. You know, I'm not a big fan of Bobo, but they couldn't run the ball. That Georgia was not good in the trenches. They just lost Trevor Etienne. They never maximized his talent. The receivers couldn't catch the ball. And then if he wasn't in the hands, he was also in the other defensive backs in the hands. What do you think of Carson Beck going to Miami, and what will eventually happen to him?
So I think it's a good, like, fresh start for everybody, because I do think, you know, I saw the reports that Georgia wanted him back, and I kind of feel like if Georgia wants anybody, they're going to get them. Like, there's no, like, they're not going to get outbid. So I kind of feel like this was a mutual parting of ways, which I think is good. Like, the one thing that surprised me was the amount of love that was shown for Gunnar Stockton as the backup. And trust me, as a backup most of my life, I get, like, that's where the fans often go to. But, like, the phrasing of they're going to play harder for him and they love their backup, that just felt a little awkward to me. Like, why don't you love your starter? Like, you know, like, that was just a little bit weird. So I do think everybody, like, needs a fresh start. And I'm a little bit cautious on Carson Beck. I thought you saw him regress when he didn't have Brock Bowers and Ladd McConkey, who are incredible players. But I do think he's a type of player that needs good talent around him. He's not super mobile. He's mobile enough. But, like, Miami needs to put better players around him. And they just lost a ton of production. They lost their two best receivers, their running back, a couple offensive linemen. Like, they need to replenish or else they're going to be looking at a season that underwhelms. And the one thing I feel bad for Carson Beck is the expectations are going to be he's going to be Cam Ward. He's going to lead, you know, lead a number one offense, scoring offense in the country, and he's going to have Miami right back in the cusp of an ACC championship game. And if they don't put him in a good situation, I don't think he's the type of player that can elevate everybody around him and carry a team there the way Cam Ward did. So I'm cautious on Carson Beck to the Miami Hurricanes that it's just going to put them in the playoff next year.
Danny, what are you hearing about Belichick? What's the deal? I mean, we know guys sometimes don't sign their deals, but this news comes out and we're like, well, that's kind of weird. Yeah. I mean, you did the presser. You're all in. Everybody I'm talking to says he is and wanting to be there. But are you hearing anything?
No. So the only thing I've heard is kind of what you guys, the, you know, Michael Lombardi, his GM, has been out there making the case saying, hey, no one's leaving. I do think if Bill Belichick would have changed his mind, it would have happened by now. Like, I think he's at Carolina. I think he's in Chapel Hill next year. To give you an example, this is kind of, I don't want to say normal, but it's not that crazy that he hasn't signed his contract. Sherrone Moore, the head coach at Michigan, was in the second game of the season last year before he signed his deal officially on the dotted line. Like, it's not crazy. It seems crazy. I would want to have the money. Like, so I would want a signed contract, lock it up, put it under lock and key before I, you know, wanted, you know, I'd be nervous about just what are the chances? What if they change their mind? But it does kind of take some time to go through the logistics and have, you know, the right attorneys and everybody look at it. So I'm not worried about that. I also feel like Belichick has committed enough time now where I don't think he would do that to Carolina. I could be totally wrong, but I feel like he's made this commitment and now he's sort of all in. And the way his contract was structured, it looked like they were guaranteed to get 1 year. And I do think he gives them that year. You know, the name who I think is very interesting is Deion Sanders, because I do think I put that greater than 50-50 that he does take the Dallas Cowboys job. And I actually think it could work. Because behind the sunglasses, behind the quotes and the brand and everything that Deion is about, he's actually a really good football coach. Like, he cares about the things that matter when it comes time to, like, preparing and getting guys ready to go in competition. And Jerry Jones is crazy enough to take that risk. He's taken a lot of risks in his life. I think it actually could work for Deion. So I give it a greater than 50-50 that Deion Sanders is the next catch of the Dallas Cowboys.
All right, man, we got 10 seconds. Who wins on Monday? What's the score?
I got the Buckeyes in a close game. I'm going to take Notre Dame and the points, and I am going to take the under because I think Notre Dame's going to try to drag Ohio State in the mud with them, making an ugly defensive game. And their defense is pretty stout, so I think they'll provide some challenges and not give up the big plays. So I like Notre Dame in the under.
All right.
Interesting. Low scoring, huh? Lower scoring than we expect.
Lower scoring, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
good stuff.
Danny, great stuff as always, brother, man. We will catch up with you, and go Noles, please.
All right, go Noles, Mike. Talk to you later.
That's our boy, man. Good times with our again, always a great guest with the Danny Cannell. And again, a lot of folks liking the puncher's chance for Notre Dame to do some of the things that certainly Michigan did at home for Ohio State in Columbus. We'll talk more about that coming up. But we're live from Twin Peaks in Buckhead, guys. This hour of the show is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Coming up next, we got some Yeah Man, No Man with Chris. Get ready. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. It is hour number one, two, two, three, three. I lost track. We're hanging out here live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. It is Chris getting ready for some Yeah Man, No Man. Real quick for guys just getting in their car, there were some stories earlier today that was out there. Rumor was out that apparently Mike Bobo had some health concerns, was going to step away as the offensive coordinator of the Georgia Bulldogs. We later talked to Rusty Manziel from Bulldogs headquarters, and that report was erroneous. And ironically, Carl, the man that put that out there has now walked it back on social media. On his own rumor, which is kind of unique to throw a rumor out there and then, man, I sure hope those rumors aren't accurate. You started the rumor. Anyway, more or less on that. We will talk dogs more at 4 o'clock. Getting ready for the national championship. We had some Notre Dame fans still hanging out here having a good time. I saw a lot of Ohio State, Notre Dame when I was in Buckhead rolling
sure.
in today.
Yeah, man. And I'm sure over the weekend everybody will be getting into town. There are concerts tomorrow. We'll talk to Steve Coonan about this.
Right.
Going on down at State Farm Arena. There's all kind of activities. Chris, you were down there, as a matter of fact, today, and I'm sure, you know, getting credentials and whatnot. So there's a lot of stuff that'll be happening around town, man.
Yeah, it was a really, really easy and, you know, no hassle process, Carl.
Oh, it sounds to me like somebody's got a case of the Mondays. Are you doing a show tomorrow at the World Congress Center?
I am, and you need to have a credential, and that credential is not at the World Congress Center, yet at an 85-story hotel that you have to navigate through in and out of Midtown to get your credential.
Oh, snap. I will say this. There were a lot of tuned-up Ohio State fans on Juniper as I was making my way home past the hotels last night. Yes, trying to get home. Hey, man, let's talk about what's going on in Chris's mind. Time for Yeah Man, No Man.
Turtle! What's going on, man? Happy Friday to you, brother.
Same to you. If we delve into what was in my mind right now, we'd get kicked off the air because we are at Twin Peaks, and there are very specific things on my mind.
Hey, by the way, shout out to Greg. Hey, Greg, great listener, great dude. Just came over for some fellowship, and we appreciate that.
Where's he at?
Oh, there he is. Over there at the bar, man.
Thank you, brother.
Good dude. Raina, the photos are up of the lovely Raina. Again, if you missed it earlier, she was basically distracting the Suns on Tuesday night, and she's here bartending. So join the party here, guys, at Twin Peaks and Bucks.
Real quick, I just have to say this, too. Raina came over. She's a very smart sports fan.
Yes.
So not only does she great at her job, Mike, but she actually enjoys sports. And she came over. We were talking about the Braves, and we'll get into what the Braves have lost coming up here in just a little bit.
Well, she actually, Carl and Mike, I don't know if you guys know this, she actually won a trivia contest to get the tickets. Had nothing to do with her looks.
I just love when Raina goes to me. She goes, how did you know it was me sitting courtside? Wild guess. Anyway, the photo I just posted at Mike Bell.
It's a good photo. It's a good photo.
Yep.
You've got a nice smile.
I love sending photos of me and Raina. Again, my wife's listening, watching,
judging.
To my buddies back in my high school friends, our 15-man group text, and these guys that are just all miserable. And we were just talking about New York and taxes.
Yes, we were.
The difference in why you live here in the South. But I got a couple of buddies that are big Notre Dame guys. One's a Notre Dame alum. They're coming down tomorrow. They're like, are you coming up to the city? No. All right, Chris, what's going on for you?
All right. According to John Orand, Sports Business Journal insider, LeBron James did not almost make a $5 billion mistake. It was reported 2 days ago that LeBron and Maverick Carter were going to create a rival to the NBA.
Oh.
And were sinking $5 billion.
Wait, billion with a B?
Billion.
Billion?
Billion into this new league. Now comes out a day later. Whoa.
Stop the presses.
Maverick Carter may be involved in some way, shape, or form. LeBron is not. Because I don't think it's a smart business move for the league to take the face of the league for the last 20 years and have him create a rival NBA. I don't think this is a good idea at all. But apparently, the general scheme and scope of the idea is something that is still being considered. We've seen leagues like the Big Three with our buddy Ice Cube, sure, and other leagues have varying levels of success, but never a $5 billion investment to rival the NBA. Yeah, man, no man. Could something like this work?
So, first of all, wasn't this going to be overseas? Is it, right?
Overseas, but Europe, with the eye of still the American audience being
okay,
what they're going at.
Because I think we need to say, like, they're not just trying to body the NBA out of the way.
No,
all right?
They're trying to make it international, global.
Correct. Right. So yes, you're going to create a league. And by the way, I think this could work.
Big time.
We already see, and I hate to tell Americans this because we love America, we love our country. We created basketball. All the biggest stars right now in the league are not Americans. Matter of fact, the top five
are probably not.
They're foreigners, yeah, right? They're European guys, right, from other parts of the world.
And Shai Gilgeous, who's
but,
not
but here's
from
the thing,
America
though,
either,
just real quick. You said $5 billion. If you're going to go toe-to-toe, thanks, just for argument's sake, the Super League in Europe, you know, like the Real Madrid basketball team, you know, the place where that's where you got Luka, yep, Doncic came from. They have these great youth academies. There's leagues in Greece and all the Italy and all that. So, and obviously, there's more money in some than others, but that's what you'd have to compete with if you're going to try to do like,
yes,
a super league to set it up. But I would think there'd be a way, and you might. It's kind of like, I was just watching the Vince McMahon documentary on Netflix. Basically, take out those territories,
it's
if
great,
you will, and create your own thing.
Yeah, I do think there's a market for this, is what I'm saying. How it's done, who's gonna jump in, who's gonna willing to put the money up. But if you're telling me, and again, you're not bodying the NBA out of the way. The NBA has its place. But we're going to do something globally, internationally. We're going to start, you know, 12 teams, 15 teams, whatever. Turtle, there's a spot for this. I think it could work. There's just too many good players now. That, you know, there used to be every team had like one star and there wasn't enough talent. The global pool now is just too big. But guys, Wimby, not from here, right? We got a guy, Rishai Shea, we drafted number one, not from here, okay? Luka, you just mentioned, not from here. Giannis, not from here. I mean, we can go down the list of superstars in this league. That Joker, not from here. That's part of what's going on, and I think that's the appeal is everybody's watching around the world. They can make some money off of this, but it's got to be done right.
Here's where my mind automatically went. Two guys that you just named love their home countries, miss their home countries. Giannis, Jokic. I feel like if something like this gained enough traction,
they jump in.
You could potentially, if you have $5 billion in backing, which is their investment goal, and they're led by some pretty big head honchos, former Facebook executives, the co-founder of the platform Skype is involved in this.
Okay.
So this is a legit thing.
Yeah, because those are people with money looking to do something with their money.
Yeah, money and power, more importantly. Like, I think if you say to Jokic, we're going to, you know, double your NBA salary potentially, yeah, to get you to come be our star, and he's like, hell yeah, I could go be closer to home where we know he loves his horses and he loves to go back home every year.
Right.
Giannis, same thing, him and his brothers go back home every offseason.
But you would need billions with a B to
you
facilitate
would
that.
You
yeah,
would.
Yeah, which
would
is where the $5 billion number comes from. All right, another thing you need a lot of money for is to get Deion Sanders out of Colorado.
Oh.
Apparently, and this is not the first time we've heard this, potentially Jerry Jones being a little tight with the purse strings.
What the hell
is holding up a potential reunion for Deion in Dallas?
I don't get it.
Me neither.
I don't. Jerry, I mean, you've got more money than God. I mean, you really are up there. I mean, you're the highest valuation of any franchise. I think they've eclipsed Manchester in England. It's Carl. It's mind blowing.
It is. And that's why, you know, here's the thing that people don't think about. You think about the Dallas Cowboys in the NFL. What you don't think about is the merch and all the other stuff that goes right into the brand of the Cowboys and why it is evaluated, to Mike's point, as one of the highest, if not the highest, in the world. That makes no sense. Jerry owns Jerry World, right? All that money is his. Every show that's in there it's his.
Right.
You talk about all the other things he's got his tentacles in. It should never be about money for the Cowboys. And if that's the case, then Jerry doesn't want it.
And you know what the number is? It's only $8 million.
That's not enough. That's nothing.
But according to reports, LarryBrownSports.com and others have it, he doesn't want to pay. He wants to mortgage that into some kind of TV or media rights package
right.
that would serve as a potential buyout from Colorado to mitigate the cost to his own pocket. Which is insane when you think the Cowboys are worth $9 billion, Carl and Mike.
Right.
It is one of the strangest things in the world. We shall see.
No, as, I mean, in the old days, it was Real Madrid, Manchester, and Barcelona. This year, the NFL has six of the top 10, 13 of the top 20.
Crazy.
And Jerry is number one.
Yeah.
And number one in the world. So it's just, when we heard that, you mentioned, Chris, the last year on the McCarthy. Mike McCarthy, you got beat. It's the only 7 seed to beat a 2 seed in the NFL since they've expanded the playoffs. And Jerry doesn't move on from McCarthy. It's, I mean, Carl, it's almost like he's, I mean, what, does he check his suits before he sends him to the dry cleaners? I mean, come on, man. I mean, let's move on with it, for crying out loud.
Yeah, if you want him, you do that. You just make that happen.
So apparently every time somebody goes in to Jerry Jones's office for a meeting, there's a leave a penny, take a penny thing
right.
sitting on
But
sitting
here's the thing, though. Desk. Just real quick, though. With the article in The Athletic about how Jerry has his own 30-minute press conference, he basically talks to the last reporter and leaves while the coach is talking inside the, you know. Is Deion, would that come to a head in, what, 2 years? But Deion laughs all the way to the bank and gets guaranteed money.
Yeah.
I mean, because you know at some point, you're going to want to lean into that personnel department, which is obviously malfunctioning.
For sure.
And that's, to me, that's why some of these bigger names aren't touching the Cowboys.
Oh, I agree. All right, real quick before we get out of here, the numbers are in.
The numbers.
Our good friends at BetOnline sent us an email earlier this morning stating which states are rooting for which teams. Now, if you guys had to guess, which team left in the NFL playoffs has the most amount of states rooting for them?
I'm going to go Bills.
Okay, good guess.
I don't – oh, you know what? The least amount of states?
The most.
It's certainly not the Chiefs. I think there's a Chiefs fatigue out there. I'll say the Ravens.
Okay. Carl was closest without going over. Second place were the Bills with 10 states.
Okay.
The Detroit Lions – have yeah. half the country.
That's America's team.
Rooting for them.
Interesting.
25 states.
That's a blue-collar vibe.
It
and,
is.
And I think, you know, you and I were joking around about this, I think, 3 or 4 weeks ago. With that, I got no skin in the game. I'll go for the Buffalo Bills or the Detroit Lions, the most long-suffering fan bases. You know, they really deserve it. They deserve a shot. Good for that.
The interesting one for me is the Commanders. Only 2 states. Their home state, obviously. You get Virginia, West Virginia and Virginia.
I give them a break because it's been so bad for so long with Daniel Snyder.
Right.
He ran a lot of fans off.
Alienated half the fan base. That's why
Mike will tell you.
How about this? Yeah, upstairs.
Yes, but I was going to say all yep. these states, whether it's the Carolinas, right, you have this portion around the Maryland, Washington, D.C. area and even down to Atlanta, to be honest with you,
right.
that were Redskins fans. And a lot of those folks were turned off by Daniel
right.
Snyder.
And Dale Earnhardt Jr. is a huge, was Redskins, now Commanders fan.
Yeah.
We were just talking, being up there at the Army-Navy game, to see imagine like the Mercedes-Benz and the upper level tarped off. And it looks terrible on television. You'd like to think with Jaden Daniels, they're going to tear down those fences and the tarp and get all those fannies in the seats again.
But the only reason I picked Buffalo is because right. everybody I know from Buffalo has moved from Buffalo. Nobody's in Buffalo, but they still love the Bills.
Yes.
That's why. They have fans all over the place. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, Carl, can't say I'm surprised given the temperature up there right now is probably negative 10 with 14 inches of snow.
Yeah, not a fan of Western New York.
No. All right, on that note, we got to run. Big O, hit my music.
Hey, man, we had a rumor, and it turned out to be a bunch of nonsense. There's another rumor that's now a fact. Involving the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah.
Now, I guess you and I knew this. I guess some of the Braves Nation did not. We'll explain who's not coming back in 2025, and we'll also give you the dog report next.